The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Wise men and women will appreciate and obey correction. So let me ask a question. How well do you and I listen, especially to those who are criticizing or correcting us? I ask this question, brethren, because the willingness to humbly take correction and instruction is a condition for wisdom. Because you see, brethren, if we resent and resist being corrected, then we might be rejecting opportunities for wisdom. And after all, when you really stop and think about it, correction, being rebuked, those kinds of things are necessary for successful living in this Christian life in which we are trying to live. I have entitled this sermon, "Where Do You Want to Abide?" Brethren, if we want to be a wise person, then we must learn to accept correction. Solomon puts it this way. Go with me over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Proverbs, chapter 15. And verse 32. Proverbs 15 and verse 32. "He that refuses instruction despises his own soul." Now, that word instruction there, in some translations, it is actually the word correction. So if we refuse instruction, or if we refuse correction, despises his own soul. "But he that hears reproof gets understanding." So what we see here is if we refuse instruction and correction, then we please need to understand both are necessary for successful living. Therefore, we might just be despising our soul, as the scripture says. Some translation says, hates himself. So this is a pretty interesting topic whenever you stop and think about it. If we refuse instructions and correction when it's necessary for us to receive, if we refuse it, we don't want to pay attention to it, we're hating ourselves. That's the point. This is what it is saying. So we have just rejected the very means of wisdom for life. A valuable rule for life is the importance of gaining wisdom through correction, instruction, rebukes, reproofs, and warnings from others. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life." The better translation to that last part is the way of life would be the way to godly life. So it's to listen to. It's to listen to take it. Because when you stop and think about it, a wise person is one who is going to accept these things. In fact, the very truly wise person is going to love you if you are the one that gives that correction or that rebuke. And he is going to become even wiser as a result of it. Let me show you what I'm thinking. Go with me to Proverbs 15, again, 15, verse 31. Proverbs 15, verse 31. "The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise." Hence the title. Where do you want to abide? While on the other hand, that's what the wise person is going to do. While on the other hand, a scorner, that's a person who's going to reject it, is going to reject the correction, the correction, and as a result of that, he's going to hate you for it. Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. So, well, I'm not sure that I need to really offer this correction to this person because he may not like me as a result of it. Well, you've just defined, is this person a scorner or is this person a wise person? One of them's going to hate you and one of them's going to love you. We'll come back a little bit later and we'll see, well, what is our responsibility in that situation? Because we do have one. One grows in favor with God and man, while the other one is hated and rejected, probably by both. So since the wise person is going to accept reproof, let's ask the question, what is meant by the word reproof? The Hebrew word for reproof is yakan, it's Y-A-K-A-C-H, and it means, well, it has several meanings, several usages, reproof, along with a whole bunch of other things, such as reject, despise, convince, rebuke, and put to the proof. Therefore, we can simply state, reproof is when someone expresses disapproval of our actions or our attitude or our beliefs or our conduct or our reputation or whatever it is that they may have some reproof or slash criticism or instruction on how we can do a better job if we did something else. Reproof is when they rebuke and blame or find fault with us for doing something wrong. Another one is reproof is when they disapprove, criticize, or when they warn us that our current choices are foolishness and they will end up in pain and troubles if we continue those actions. So the sense of the Hebrew word for reproof is telling us that we are wrong. Now, we have to understand it goes along with the fact that this person is telling us that we are wrong and they're correct, that we are doing something that is wrong. Because somebody could say something that, oh, you're doing this wrong, and they be wrong. So we're taking from the point of view that the person who is going to offer the reproof or the correction or the instruction to us, they're correct in what they're saying. So I'm presenting it from that point of view. Because there's another side to that. What do you do with that? That's not part of this. Now, brother, we all know that it is hard to accept and appreciate criticism. Why? Why? Well, because as God tells us, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. That's what he says. That's over here in Proverbs 16. Let's go there. Proverbs 16 in verse 2. Proverbs 16 in verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirits. Drop down to verse 25. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now again, this is talking about there is a way that seems right unto a man. It's talking about from the point of view of what he seems to be right. He's wrong. He is incorrect. He is doing something that's not correct according to God's word, God's standard, that way of life. But there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's why we know that it's doing something that is incorrect. Go with me to Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Yes, we're spending a lot of time in the book of Proverbs today because this is where this subject really kind of, shall we say, shines. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? And then Proverbs 21 and verse 2. 21 verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Where are we coming from? Are we correct in what we're saying and what we're doing here? This is what God is going to ponder. It's not going to take him long to ponder it. He knows it, but that's what he's talking about. Therefore, since every man thinks he is right, he resents anyone who criticizes and warns him about his foolishness, of his choices, about his nature, about his conduct, about his behavior, whatever it is that he's doing, that's incorrect. Because we've already established that the wise person is going to accept it. So this is talking about a person who's doing something wrong and he's not willing to accept it. And that's not what we want to be. Because you see, and yet, if we are wise, or if we desire to be wise, we will easily question our own ideas and our opinions on every subject, especially when someone else that is going to point it out to us that what we're stating, what we're believing, what we're doing is incorrect. Because if we're wise, we're going to go, oh, okay, let me take a look at this. We're not going to say, who do you think you are in telling me this? Well, we're already looking at verses that already said if a person is wise and someone tells him that, he loves you for it. The fool hates you as a result. So which one are we? You know, how do we respond to that? It's a real interesting question. And the Bible presents it as we do one or the other. Because we also need to understand it is hard to accept and appreciate criticism. And so we need to ask, but why? Because human nature prefers foolish entertainment over a rebuke from a wise person. How would I know that? Because the scripture says that. That's what we're told. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 5. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of fools. I call that entertainment. Because remember what I said was human nature prefers foolish entertainment over the rebuke from a wise person. And Scripture says that's exactly true. However, from what we're seeing through this particular message today, open rebuke from a faithful friend, someone who has the nerve, someone who has the passion, who has the love for us to tell us things, this faithful friend, even though it stings and even though it hurts and even though it might even offend us, it is better than the kisses and the secret love from a false friend. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Proverbs 27 and verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. King David was a man who was wise. He made mistakes, but he was wise. And he also shows us it's in Scripture to love those that rebuke us, that offer instructions or criticisms when we're doing something that is wrong. Go with me to Psalm 141 and verse 5, just the one verse. 141 verse 5. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. He's saying it's a good thing when a person smites us because of we're doing wrong and they tell us. He counts it as a good thing. So that's why we can state that we know that David was a wise person. Because he didn't hate the person because he does this. So here, I guess you know my style. We wind up, as a result of things, asking a lot of questions. So another question is, what is meant by reproof of life? You know, the ear that hears the reproof of life. Well, we talked about what reproof is, but what is reproof of life? Reproof of life is instruction or correction from when someone has the goal is to stop us from harming ourselves in any number of ways. It's in order to help us have a successful life, whether that is in this physical life or whether that is, the end result is spiritual and is in the spiritual successful life in the kingdom of God. Reproof of life is criticism or warnings to help direct us into the right way of God's blessing and favor on our life. Reproof of life is a criticism that is necessary for our good living. It's good for us. That's reproof of life. The ear that hears the reproof of life, where do they live? Among the wise. Because that's a wise person who's going to do that. So I guess looking this in a progressive way, this is how I'm trying to do this, we need to ask, where do reproofs of life come from? Well, they come from a lot of different sources. The first one that comes in our life are called parents. Now, I'm assuming we got parents, again, here who are after our good. They're not trying to harm us. Because are there parents that are like that? Yes, they're not called parents. They're called something else. But they're called parents. But I'm talking about a parent who is trying to direct us in the right way. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Listen to what your mother and your father are telling you because they are looking after your well-being. This is where reproof of life first happens in our lives. We're babies. It starts out. We grow up. Verse 21, bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. When you go, it shall lead you. What we're talking about here, the commandments, the words of the father and the law of the mother, hurt their teachings us from young life. And as we go up, we grow up, we take them with us. And when you sleep, it shall keep you. And when you awake, it shall talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instructions are the way of life. This is talking about from mom and dad. This is what this is saying. This is how it's supposed to be done. Now, did all of us grow up in this type of household? I'm sorry to say no. But this is the first reproof of life that comes from is with our parents. Go with me to Proverbs 7 and verse 1. Proverbs 7 and verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. And then Proverbs 15 and verse 5. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction. Oh, so there are some who actually listen to mom and dad because mom and dad is telling them things, and we're not really, as kids, as smart as our parents, even though we think we are. The reality is, no, we're not. But here are some. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regards reproof is prudent. Another word for that is wise. Now, we understand the fact is parents are almost always significantly wiser than their children, in spite of teenage beliefs. And while this gap closes with age or maturity or experience, it is so wide in childhood and youth that parental reproofs could be actually considered and treated like wisdom from God. Now, when we're in those younger ages, We don't have this wisdom to realize this really is wisdom. So as an adult, we have to look back on it and say, yeah, they did some things that wasn't right. But what their intent was, they were really doing this for my good. And they needed to have listened. So we go back and we rehear the words and instructions and corrections of our parents, even as we're adults, so that we can learn that. I mean, think about it this way. A child knows nothing compared to parents. Not when they're small. They don't have the experience. They don't have the maturity. They don't have the wisdom. So who else is better for us to start our lives with having reproof of life? It's from parents. Reproof of life also comes from other sources, like teachers or pastors, employers, spouses. Yeah, primarily instructions comes, and I hope nobody is offended by this because I'm not going to explain it in detail, but is from husbands to wives as it is to wives correcting husbands. But that is also in somebody who is wise. They're going to listen to whoever it is telling them these things. And so that would be husbands would listen to wives, and that would be wives listening to husbands. And it would be other leaders who would have wisdom and experience to be able to tell us, you're not doing this right. I said I'd bring this up a little bit later, that we have a responsibility, because what I want to understand is all of these people who can give us reproof of life, including ourselves with others, were bound by God's word, his law, to rebuke any sin in our lives and in others' lives to show their love for us in this way, or for us to show others this love in the way that we would correct them. Let me show you this in Scripture. It's Leviticus 19 in verse 7. I could read several verses, but this is the one that nails it down. Leviticus 19 in verse 7. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer his son upon him, not leave it upon him, not allow it to stay there. So is this saying that we have a responsibility? That if we see a brother and sister, and this is talking about Israel to another Israelite whenever this law was done. I would say it's at least within the Church of God this is here. You know, somebody who is going to pay attention to what the Bible is stating, we have this as a responsibility. Let me ask two questions for us to consider here. Do we accept the love of a reproof of life or a criticism from somebody? Do we love it? We've seen scriptures to back it up. The person is wise is going to. The other question is, do we show our love in reproving others? Or do we go, I don't want to get involved in that. Now, we're going to have some more on this as we go along, too. Because, brethren, we please realize this. It is a test. It is a test of our true nature of who we really are, spiritually speaking here, and it is also crucial for success, whether we do this or we don't. Do we have a responsibility? Yes. Now, we'll deal with, like I said, some other things which should go on. Now, I said there are a lot of different sources for reproof of life, because the question was, where do they come from? Of course, most reproofs of life come from the Bible. And that would obviously be true, because when you really stop and think about it, the purpose or a purpose of God's word is to reprove foolish living and to instruct us in wisdom. Go with me to the New Testament. Go with me to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. We may not think about it just like this, but this is what this is saying. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or for teaching us. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. It is profitable for instructions in righteousness. Verse 17, I'm going to read in a word. So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's one of the main purposes of what the Bible is for. Is to give us instructions. Here's the teachings, here's the doctrines of God the Father, here's the instructions of Jesus Christ. This is what the church is to teach, and it's profitable for reproof or correction, instructions in righteousness, so that the man of God, the wise man, is going to become perfect. In other words, put the word in the context of where we're looking, wise. God's word also is the light in this darkened world, where we should give great heed and attention to the light, the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place unto the day dawn, and to the day star arise in your hearts. We listen to the Word of God. We pay attention because it lights up the darkness in the world in which we're in. So we can get reproof of life. That's the context we're looking at. God's Word also brings blessings on those who will read it and those who will do it, those who will live by it. James 1:21. Whereunto lay apart all filthiness and I never can pronounce this word, of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, don't pretend that you're living the God way of life when you don't even really pay attention to what the Word of God is telling you. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks unto the perfect law of liberty, meaning the word of God, and continues therein, living by it, he shall be, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed or in his doing. Because he's going to listen to the reproof of life of what the Bible has for him. He's going to be corrected out of the Word of God. So ask the question. I kind of asked this earlier, but we go back and ask it again. How well do we listen? Meaning to the Word of God here. How much do we love it? And how well do we obey it? It is the place to go and get the correction that we need because we all need it. Let's reread again. Let's go back to Proverbs 15, verse 31 again. I want this verse to be there for us. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. Now, we ask this question. What does the phrase abides among the wise, what does that phrase mean? In the Hebrew, it means they shall abide or they will abide there. They're going to live there. That's where they're going to be. The sense of this phrase in the Hebrew is he will, by this means of doing this, be made wise because he lives there. He that hears the reproof of life, he that listens to the reproof of life, and we've already seen, where do we get reproof of life? Many different sources, parents, all these other places, and especially from the Word of God. If we live by it, if we do it, by the doing of that, that person will be made wise, and he will be esteemed, counted as one of the wise. Or he seeks and delights in the company and the conversation of the wise, even though he will know that he very likely is going to be reproved by them. Because he wants to be wise. Then on the other hand, the fool, who hates reproof, who hates correction, they avoid and they despise any and everything to do with the wise person and their way of life. Amos 5 and verse 10. Amos 5 and verse 10. They hate him that rebuke in the gate, and they abhor them that speak uprightly. Huh. In other words, there is the one type of person who will welcome and appreciate correction, while on the other hand, the other one will hate it and will reject it. I want to go back to Proverbs again, 15, verse 32. This is the first one we actually read. But I want to read it out of another translation, one that I don't typically use in sermons, but it words it and just has real good words. It's the New Living Translation. It's a paraphrase, and I understand it, but it says, if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. That's the sense of the verse. If you listen to correction, in other words, you heed it, you listen to it, you follow it, you correct yourself, there's more to it, then you grow an understanding of the godly way of life. So it's a good thing, and so in that sense, it's a good translation, even though it's a paraphrase. The thing is, brethren, correction is necessary for everyone at some point in time in our lives. I mean, after all, no one is perfect enough to never need some words of instruction or correction on some occasion. And then the person who bristles up, you know what I mean? You know, just kind of bristle up at that, at correction. Now, that's an interesting phrase, and it's an interesting way of putting that. I mean, I find it, I think it's very graphic because it describes what I'm seeing here is when he is corrected, he will eventually have no one around who loves him enough to offer him help. Because if you're always being, you're trying to help a person out because you love this person and you're trying to give them some instruction in correction in righteousness, and they bristle up at it and always they bite back at you, eventually going to just simply stop doing it, right? I mean, that's what people do. That's what people are going to do. Because you see, if we are usually ungrateful of others' opinions, then they will eventually avoid our company or interact with us either cautiously or reluctantly or not at all. I think we would all agree. None of us like to be corrected. However, all of us will need it, and the sad thing is, all too often, it is usually at the time when we least appreciate it. Now, you think that's happenstance? You think that's coincidental? I don't. When we do not heed, listen to the wise and the needed instruction or correction from people God has placed in our lives, well, what do you think God's going to do? He could very likely use a person from whom we would least like to hear it. Then, brethren, God watches to see if we would receive the message that he brings to us, or he will see how we react to the messenger that he sends to us. There's people around us that should love us enough to be able to say, you know, that's not the right thing to do. And we could go, oh, okay, I'll repent, I'll change, and as opposed to bristling up. See, we got two sides. We got this. We see this. We understand this. I mean, because here's the thing. After all, God loves you and me enough so that he will not allow us to be ignored by everyone. He's going to keep sending us the help that we need. And if it's someone that is close to us and loves us enough and tells us, and we accept it, well and good. If we don't, then he's probably going to send somebody else that we don't necessarily want to hear it from, but he's going to send it anyway because God loves us that much. I don't know about you, but I come to a conclusion that there is an art to correction that most people simply do not get. They do not master it. when correction is done improperly, and by that I'm meaning at the wrong time or in the wrong way, it is probably going to cause more reaction than receiving it. You know, a negative reaction to it than receiving it, therefore causing its very intention to be rejected. Another thing that I've run across in this particular topic is that it certainly appears that correction is not so much what we say as it is about when, how, and why we say what it is that we do say. Also, we would all need to understand that a really tried and tested and proven relationship is the best place, and it gives the best opportunity to offer advice and correction when it's needed in another person's life. In other words, if we see it in somebody else's life, we love them enough that we should be able and feel confident enough, because this is a topic, to be able to tell them. They, on the other hand, should love us enough to be able to reciprocate and do the same thing back to us. And we both should have this thing of not bristling up, but actually accepting it. I'm talking about when we've done something that is wrong. It's also very obvious to me that the Bible gives us a very important structure of love and trust of how it is to be done. It's in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Just the A part of the verse. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Now, I've been stating that in other ways, but I mean here, love does not give us the right to say anything that we feel. Love gives us the right to show proof of our caring and our loving of this other person, as well as considering how our words will make the other person feel, react, think, all kinds of words like that. It's not a thing about, well, if I tell them this and they need to hear it, and if I tell them, they're not going to like me. That's neither here nor there. You know, that's the other person. But we have a responsibility to do it in love. And so we have to be very cautious. And we also need, please understand, correcting someone comes with a responsibility. Correction should be done sparingly and prayerfully with love. And tenderness. As well as, we need to be asking ourselves, am I sure that it is my place to do so? Because we also need to understand that. It's outside of this particular teaching. But there are places where it's not our responsibility to correct someone else. It may be our responsibility to take it to another person whose responsibility it is. Another really important point that I think all of us know, but it needs to be stated in this context: correction can do no one any good unless we're willing to accept it. So someone can love us as much as they could possibly love us and love the way of life of God, and they get presented to us, and unless we accept it, it does nobody any good. It should be obvious the person who refuses to be corrected when needed is hurting himself more than anyone else. So we need to consider it when somebody offers it to us. That's the point that I'm making. Therefore, the person who wants to understand, who wants to hear it, and, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, whatever the reaction is, that person is going to listen carefully to someone who knows more, and that person is going to take correction from that person to learn. because they know it was done out of love. Maybe they didn't say it in exact words, the exact way. Maybe their way of saying it wasn't the best, or somebody else could have said it in a better way or more smoother words and all of this. But you have to look at if a person is doing it, they love. They love the person who is. If one person is trying to offer correction to another person, the person who's receiving it should understand this person is giving it out of love. That's the context of this. So when we think about this, then we need to understand that is abiding among the wise. Because we hear it, we accept it, we receive it. Or we offer it in the same context. That's abiding among the wise. So, brethren, from what we have seen, let's all go back once again to Proverbs 15, verse 31. I know many of you got this committed to memory. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. I want us to understand this proverb is one of the simplest stated, straightforward proverbs in the entire book of Proverbs. At the same time, it is also one of the most important. And it's probably, even within the Church of God, one of the most valuable ones that are there that's not taught and not accepted. Because people go, I don't want to be corrected. Even though it's, I mean, I think you all should understand, it's biblically based and we should receive it and we should be able to tell somebody else. Now, there's responsibilities, a lot more to it. Could be a part two or part three to this sermon. And I understand that. It's just not going to be, at least not now. And the thing is, this proverb is repeated in several other verses in the book of Proverbs, just stated in different ways, but it's the same thing. It is so important. It repeats several different ways in the book. Because I also want us to understand this, brethren. Our response to the words that I think that we have seen and heard here today about this proverb is going to indicate whether we will submit to the lesson or not. It is really that important of a verse. So, from this, let's ask ourselves another question. Can we take this information and examine ourselves and see if there is any foolish resentment to reproof in our life? I want to conclude this teaching with another question. Shock, huh? Are we hearing and heeding the reproof of life so we will be abiding among the wise? Where do you want to abide? The ironic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you, brethren. God bless each one of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.